Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Shut up.
reading from Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We have here the word of Christ from him that is true, the key of David, openeth and no man shutteth, shutteth and no man openeth. And we also read, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We have there the description of what we sometimes call the triune God, the three in one. The beginning of this letter and through the letter is written by Christ, the Son of God, written about his Father as well. Verse 12, a pillar in the temple of my God. And then the Holy Spirit, certainly in John, leading him, applying that word to him. All of it is throughout Scripture, from the beginning of Genesis to the end. In Genesis we read, let us make man, in the plural. It is true in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Let's pray to him who is on the throne. As Christ taught us, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then also to pray to the one on the right hand of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to pray, as we read through Scripture, in the Spirit. Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come asking that we might be in him and he in us. And we know that this can only take place by the mighty work of thy Spirit. He doing as thou hast said, Lord Jesus, he will take the things of mine and show them to you. We pray, Father, that we might have those things which are so wonderfully spoken of in Scripture, both those that we must believe and those that describe what alone thou canst do. We think of thy word, Lord Jesus, stating that no man cometh to the Father but by the Son. And we also read that no man cometh to thee except the Father draw him. And we are also told by the Lord Jesus that that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that we must be born again. We pray that we might, as Stephen, behold thee in heaven and have thy Spirit here on earth. We know that thou canst call today those as Stephen, as true as he was, as true as Paul was, as true as John was, who was directed to write this. We pray that many laborers might be called today to be sent into all the fields which are white under the harvest and where the laborers are few. We pray, Father, for the Spirit's leading in this letter, giving us understanding of it. Even as, Lord Jesus, you opened the understanding of the apostles on the day of resurrection that they might understand the Scriptures. and also giving strong admonition to two other ones that were called fools and slow of heart not to believe all that the Scriptures has spoken. We know we are without excuse, and we also know that we will not believe it rightly without the blessed Holy Spirit. And we pray that we may have what David could write, "Thy people will be willing in the day of thy power, the power of thy Spirit in us, subduing us first, turning us, leading us, saving us, all through Christ." And we pray in his name that thou wilt teach us all that we need to do and all that we need to have to be revived in the church. And then, Father, all what unbelievers need to, first of all, believe to be saved, to believe on thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will be saved, they and their house. And we pray that many might be brought to that and experience that. We pray, Father, for thy leading, especially for those who are persecuted, the terrible suffering that there is, even under the name of a God. We pray, Father, that we might see the lie that is there with the hatred, the killing, the suffering, the kidnapping, the homelessness, the awfulness of it, the destruction of nations. We pray, Father, that we might see it is not thy building, but it is a terrible way of deceit and lies that give only hatred and pride and killing. We give thanks, Father, that thou hast given Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, announcing at his birth peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And we pray that that message of the angels might be applied today. We pray, Father, that thou wilt intervene because of Christ. And we pray that thou wilt teach the church what it needs to know to uphold the truth and to ward against the lie. We pray, Father, for thy blessing on thy word wherever it is proclaimed, wherever it is believed, that the fruits of the Spirit might manifest themselves in those who do believe, all through Christ. We pray for more and more of that. We pray, Father, for more labors to preach the word, to preach thy whole counsel, to endure sound doctrine. We pray also, Father, for the temporal needs that there are, for those in sickness, injury, suffering, sorrow, the broken homes, the schools, the workplace, government, and each and every nation, our own and others as well. We pray for the blessings in nature, where there is flood and wind and earthquake and starving, drought, all these different calamities that thou art bringing and hast said they would be there. And Father, make us to know that thou art in control of it all, both for blessing and for cursing, for thy mercy and also thy judgment. And we pray that we might have understanding of it. We pray that when we think of these things rightly, we might say with Job, "I lay my hand upon my mouth, I have spoken that which I understood not." And that we might also know with Job that he could say, "I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." Help us to see thee, Father, as thou dost reveal thyself in thy holy and blessed word, through Christ. Amen. As we look at this again, thinking of especially those words, "To know that I have loved thee." God has loved a people from eternity in plan. We sometimes call it election. We call it predestination. All of it is spoken of and described in Scripture. Chapter 1 gives us a plain picture of it. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, and showing God an application of it. Romans chapter 9, the Lord Jesus saying, "While he was here on earth, all the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to you I will in no wise cast out." It's all through the love of God. It's all especially through the love that he gives in Christ, in loving the world and giving his only begotten Son. Yes, his Son. It must be believed. A great part of the religious world does not believe that. Two strong teachings do not believe that God has already given his Son. Yes, He could say from heaven, "This is my beloved Son." And Peter could say, we have even a more sure word of prophecy. "For unto you do well to give heed until the day star arise in your hearts." That is the gospel. God giving his Son to die, to rise again, to rule, to come again in the clouds of glory. Here speaking to this church. And what a blessing it is. It's one of only two of the seven churches that were right, that he could commend, and that he could say, not only I will make those others come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. He could say to them, because thou hast kept my word of patience, I will also keep thee in the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell on the earth. There have been many times of persecution, terrible persecutions before the time of the Reformation, which took place in the 1500s, 1520s, through that time. Before that, there were those that were described as the Waldenses that were persecuted terribly, fled into the mountains and the Alps, all of those areas, and were sometimes almost wiped out terribly. They would probably think the hour of temptation is here. And for them, it certainly was a terrible, terrible time. But the Lord Jesus also speaks and tells us, and it's recorded in Matthew 24, that there will be a time such as never has been before. When those times came, it was limited to certain areas. And today, there are terrible areas of what we might call temptation. We almost might say it couldn't be worse. And what has happened to some of the cities where the lie has been believed and practiced and murder has been in a terrible way, awful, beyond description. And it is from a lie. Yes, it is that. We sang, "How great thou art." Who did we sing it to? One God. Yes, he manifests himself in three persons, all at the same time, and all one. The Lord Jesus could say, "I and the Father are one." The Spirit was one with them, as I mentioned before, in creation. And when Christ died, it was the determinate counsel of God. God raised him again from the dead. And the Spirit, as we already prayed, takes the things of Christ and shows them to us, all in perfect unison. Do I understand it? No. Do I believe it? Yes. We can see the teaching of it, and thankfully, we can see the working out of it. Like this church here, they had this in such a way that he would even make others to know. He said, "I will make them come and worship before thy feet." God can do that. Enemies of the church, synagogue of Satan, those which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. God can make liars into those who believe and practice the truth. That's why we can say, "How great thou art." Quite ironically, it was sung in many, many meetings, over and over again. And yet, a speaker at those meetings would say, "God is powerless." What a contradiction. God is not powerless, but powerful, and has that power not only in himself, but over others. It took the power of God to make this church here at Philadelphia It was an outworking of what David had already said 1,000 years before. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. The Lord Jesus told the apostles to tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. That power then made itself manifest in them to humble them, in them to bring them in one accord in prayer and supplication, and then in making them preach in such a way that some of those that heard them said, "These men are drunken." But the effect was that some were pricked in the heart, and after they were pricked, they were made glad. Those that gladly received the word were baptized, all by the power and love of God in Christ. God's power, God's love, God's Son. That's the message that can change this nation, can change the world, and that alone. As Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, a church that was still rather weak, he described them as babes. But he said, of those that some thought the gospel was a stumbling block, others thought it was foolishness, Christ said, "But unto them which are called," called by the gospel, called by the Spirit, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. These here at Philadelphia had that as well as the Corinthians. The Corinthians had it in such a measure that we could say they, for a time, they were like the good ground that had only 30-fold. But after Paul wrote and admonished them, described them, they repented. They came to submission to the word of God that Paul wrote to them in that first epistle. Read it. It fits us today. And we need to do like they did to have revival. But here we're talking about a church that continued. Others needed to repent, to be revived, to be warned. But this church was told this wonderful thing. Not only that others would be made to worship before their feet, God will do it if he hasn't done it already. He may do it in the latter days. He may have done it earlier in the time that this was written to this particular church. He may have done it to other churches through the history, a repeat of it. And then, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Patience is part of the working out of salvation. We do not work for it. Christ paid for it. God gave him. But we do work out, as Paul said to another church, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do after his good pleasure." No one stops him. He allows himself to be stopped. He allowed many things to happen terribly, even to his son, but only so far, no further. Different times when they wanted to kill him, we read his time was not yet. We also already mentioned that when he did die, it was according to God's determinate counsel. Christ was the one that this church believed in. Christ was the one that was now writing to this church. And it doesn't hurt to repeat again and again and again who he is. He that is holy. He that is true. He that hath the key of David and openeth and no man shutteth. Do you know that he is the only one who ever became a man that was true? Fully, wonderfully true. He could bear and give that witness to Pilate. Paul writes that he had a good witness before Pontius Pilate to Timothy. But then listen to his words before Pilate. And this is where Christ is different. I read an article someone writing about Islam, that it was different, and that Muhammad is different than Christ. That's very true. There's no one like Christ, no one else the Son of God, and no one else that could say as he did, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from hence." That's one big difference with a religion that fights terribly, fights and kills, and believes it's right. Christ said, "My kingdom is like that." Then Pilate said, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." What does that do? It separates. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Christ had said earlier, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." First of all, we have to hear his voice and believe he is the Son of God who became the Son of Man. As John also states, "These things are written that you may know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through his name." Yes, as I said, two churches out of seven that continued faithful in that, that continued in the way of patience, that kept their patience. Others, sometimes we read of those that, like the shallow ground in the parable that Christ gave, that said they received the word with joy but had no root. The shallow ground hearers, sometimes called easy believism. And Christ said, "For a while believe, but in time of temptation, fall away." Christ promised these that they would be able to stand in the time of temptation. There probably are many that are suffering that and are dying. Different parts of the world. Thankfully, we have the freedom that we do. But do you use that freedom? And have you received that truth that sets you free? Christ said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples? You will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And if the Son will set you free, you will be free indeed. And that's the only way.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.